All right, folks. Hey, everybody. This is Jesse Case. This is another episode of Case in Point, episode 59. I've got my we got our co-host Ponchos. How you doing, Ponch?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Hey, Kyle is out today. He's got some stuff going on, but we were going to move forward with our Dragon Ball discussions. And before that, just a few quick shout-outs. You've got the Fireside Chat podcast with Ryan McCormick. We're probably going to be doing another side show with him. Side show, it doesn't sound right, but I'm going to be doing like a sidebar show with him up in the near future, and we're still working that out. And check out the McSauce boys on they got a great discussion going on with comic books, movies, some like toys that they like, action figures. Once in a while, we'll talk about that, but a lot of comic discussion, art, things of that nature. They watch a lot of the latest TV shows and all that, so they cover a lot of that stuff on sports as well, like hockey and things. So check them out if you like all that stuff, and hope this finds you well. Podcast. They're kind of a podcast that has come up pretty quick, and you know they've really got their bearings now. And I remember when they first started out, they were green, and now they're veterans now. So check them out; they're a good show. And so we were going to talk about the original plan was to have Kyle on here, and Ponch, he had a question for you, and the question roughly was, in Dragon Ball Super, if Frieza was the most powerful in the universe, in the Dragon Ball universe. And, you know, the fact that he could train in 4 months, train to be as, you know, is that rate of growth as it is, mean he is powerful as, like, Goku or Vegeta, someone like that. And your response would be?
Yes.
I think his biological makeup is part of it. The type of alien he is, I think there's something to be said about that, because you've got King Cold, which they've largely written off. In fact, he was kind of just smeared off the page in the episode where Frieza got out of that chamber after they reassembled him. And we don't need to bring him back. You know, they kind of, who was Frieza's father technically, and they just kind of didn't even bother. And so I'm not going to go any further past the Frieza stuff, because I don't know. Have you seen anything past the Frieza resurrection stuff, or then after they beat him, did you see the tournament or anything like that?
What, Super?
Yeah,
I got up to the tournament.
Did you watch all of the tournament, or are you partway through?
I think I'm about like halfway through it.
Okay, so you got past. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to the point where they introduced Jiren, however you say his name.
Yeah, that's not the no, you're talking about the big tournament. I got through the little tournament. Because there is that big multi-universe one that they were going to have. Remember how after they had the first one just between the two brothers, between Beerus and his brother, they just wanted to see who could win, because then there's a smaller one.
Oh!
That's the one I'm talking about. I haven't gotten to the big one yet.
Okay. Oh, so, I thought you got to like the big one where they first introduced Hit.
No, that is where they first introduced Hit, but it's not the big one.
Okay, so it's after that then. I think I remember now. So you're talking about when it was just it was within this universe, but then after that the multi.
It was universes 6 and 7. It was only 6 and 7. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember now. Okay, yeah. So it's the start of the tournament. This one leads into the big one. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's been a while since I watched this. So as Justin talks about, it'll refresh my memory on a lot of stuff. So
yeah. it's like a pot of stew. Yeah.
Well, you let it sit long enough. All you have to do is stir it and all the good chunks come back up to the top. So yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Chunks and food. Not a good combo.
No, the like personal chunks.
I blow chunks if I hear that associated with food. I really like the show. I think the show has a better flow than the previous ones, to be honest with you. And now they probably took I never watched any of the Kai stuff, but the Dragon Ball Super, I like the pace, and I watch them on Hulu. No plugs intended. It's like, you know, I just watch them on there, and I skip past all the intro and outro, and I really, you can watch them each episode in like 20 minutes. I mean, it's crazy. And so I've been burning right through.
So what they did with Dragon Ball Z Kai was they took. It's like a HD remastered version of Z, but a lot of the filler decompression fluff that Z was notorious from, where you would have like five episodes where only one punch was thrown. A lot of it is just them staring at each other and sighing and breathing and a lot of air stuff. So they cut that down drastically, and they either redrew certain scenes that for whatever reason it is, or they added like scenes, which was sort of weird because you had the original animation, and you can tell when there was like a revision done where they had like an extra scene. Like it might have been like no more than like a second or two, but the animation was different enough where you can totally tell. But the biggest thing about Z is that they decompressed it down to, for I think the original Dragon Ball Z run was, well, over 250 episodes, whereas Dragon Ball Z Kai is like 90 something. So they cut a ton of like filler off or out. And so I think that was kind of like a prep to Super. I don't know if Super was in production during Kai, or maybe like, actually my guess is probably it was, because I think Kai was airing, I think in Japan they do it like on a weekly basis or however often they do. So I'm assuming while that was airing, Super was in production. So I think it, like, once Dragon Ball Z Kai finished, it just sort of led into Super, because Super, you know, as you know, and people have watched it, it picks up right after the end of Z. So yeah, to sort of like build off what you're talking about before, yeah, it's the I don't want to say, well, compared to Dragon Ball Z, it's much faster pacing, but I think it's a lot more concise. It's more, they do have filler, but it's nowhere near to the point that like Z was, where, you know, you have certain things that sort of like set the scene, but they only do it at, you know, just enough time where you get what's going on. Then they go back, they go deep into the action or storyline stuff. So, to build off your point, it's definitely, pacing is way better than Z ever was.
Right. It's for people with short attention spans. It's fine,
I guess. Yeah. And I guess also the whole decompression type of storyline that Z was kind of notorious for, it wasn't just exclusive to Dragon Ball Z, if I understand correctly. Like, even like in the manga or some of the anime over there, I don't know if it's like a cultural thing, but there's the idea of like setting a scene first before going deep into the story. But I think as time goes along, it could very well be like a short attention span. But I think in Japan, like maybe the storytelling sensibilities have changed to the point where they know, like, I guess with like the original Dragon Ball Z, it was only at the time when it first came out. My guess is since it was more local at the time, like you don't have like globalization the way it is now, where stuff that happens here, they watch, you can watch it across the world like seconds later. So I think at the time, like, I don't know if they originally intended it to be like more of like a global type of watching type of show. So I think, at, you know, maybe at the time they didn't think it was going to be watched in the U.S. But so going back to what I was saying, like, maybe like now, since it's a much more global thing where you have anime that has like same day releases in Japan and here in the U.S. So I think that it's sort of like, I'm assuming maybe like the cartoon storytellers, animators, whatever, they figure, well, we want the Americans or whoever's watching it outside Japan to not be bored by this. So maybe they should tweak it so people like us can watch it.
Leave me out of this. I like the long version.
Huh?
I like the original version. It screw with the art, and I like the pace the way it is. It was the original version, and I really could care less about Kai. And
No, I'm talking more about Super. Sorry.
Oh, gotcha. I do like. See, it's different with Super because it was originally made like that, you know, and you know what I mean. So it's a little different, but it's a cool show, and even the humor is like funny. Like everybody would think it's funny, you know, and like my wife watches it now, and like with me, and like she's laughing, and just before it'd be like, well, we don't get it because it's just too out there. It's not our culture, but now it's more like, you know. It's always centered around, like, really good food and all that stuff. And, you know, you have beers. How dare you keep me away from this? You know, he just, you know, is waste. You know? And so, it's just great. I like the characters. And they're always, like, on pins and needles with Beerus because of his stature. And then, you know, it's funny because then even Frieza was, like, petrified of the guy. You know? He was trying to be like this, you know, really evil, angry person getting vengeance, and he sees Beerus and immediately stops dead in his tracks. And he's like petrified, and I thought it was great. So, you know, and it also made me think about how a lot of these characters were in existence even during the original few seasons of Dragon Ball Z, but they were never discussed, right? So obviously Beerus was around, but we never heard of them. But because when you hear people like Frieza talk about Beerus and all that, and he sees them, they've been around this whole time, but the audience was not aware of them. So, I mean, I think that's kind of cool when you think about it. And so, yeah, I did start watching my original Dragon Ball series, and I'm digging that too. There's some weird stuff in it, though. It's kind of like, I don't know, guys, you don't really need, it's kind of weird, but as far as, like, the art and the, I'm really liking it, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to order all of the Dragon Ball Z series, I'm going to order those on Blu-ray at some point. They have the box set for, like, $100 of Blu-rays. I'm going to buy all those, because I don't have all of the orange sets, but I've got the orange DVD sets where you can watch either Japanese or American music, and, and you know that, but I like the original version with the original art. In fact, I even saw something on YouTube where they did a comparison of the scenes where Goku went Super Saiyan for the first time and ultimately beat Frieza on the planet Namek, and they did a side by side of that whole scene where he pretty much takes Frieza out. And the original animation actually had better detail and it was more vibrant in color. And the newer stuff that they put in, they did some different shading. Not with the art, but with the coloring. It was a little more subdued, I guess, in hue. And it looked good, but I think if I have to pick, I like the original art better. And so, I mean, because it's like kind of like anime history, right? It's like you're not going to take a Charlie Chaplin film or something and make it in color and change everything around to make it look modern. I mean, that's kind of my approach. Which is a separate podcast in and of itself, but I really like this show. It's pretty cool. There's like 131 episodes on Hulu. Maybe there's more than that, but they say one season, but I think they just took them all. How many episodes are in season one?
See, that's the thing. I know
that they just call it one season. That might be the full run of the show.
I think it is, because I think what we know of as seasons, I think when they originally aired in Japan, I think they broke it up into chunks. So say, you know, let's say if it was like 15 or 30 episodes, maybe that to us, that would be one of our seasons. But to them, it's just kind of like, you know, this is the first chunk, where it might be like, you know, the Battle of Gods arc, or, you know, after that, the Frieza Resurrection arc or whatever. So that's my take on that. I think I don't know if they necessarily aired it as seasons, but I mean, with the way, you know, you're watching it right now, it's one you're watching it as a whole series basically. But yeah, that'd be my guess.
I really like the characters a lot. They're super likable.
Yeah. What I do like a lot and I appreciate a lot about Super that Z didn't really do too much to a lot of the characters. That there's a lot of like there's definitely some more like world building now. Well, I mean, you had in Dragon Ball Z, but now since it's super expands it out to a more universal scale. You have more of that world building, and also you have like more fleshed out backgrounds for, you know, like with Beerus, even though he first appeared in the Battle of Gods movie and then fleshed out even more in the beginning of Super, the fact that, you know, his backstory kind of connects to some of the stuff that happens in Super and Dragon Ball Z is pretty cool. So, and for me, it's like knowing that, and then you go back to watch Dragon Ball Z, you can sort of like play detective in a way of like, yeah, okay, is this part of the Z series? Is this where when Beerus first, you know, made himself known to some of the characters that do know him? So a lot of stuff is kind of like, I appreciate that. So
that's what I was getting at earlier. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, not that they didn't put attention to that in Dragon Ball Z, but I think they took what already existed and just fleshed it out even more, so that even like Lunch and those what's the other two, the two characters that I think originally came from the original Dragon Ball series were like, say in the beginning of Super, when they're in the cruise ship for Bulma's birthday, you have those three characters trying to trying to get onto the boat so they can have the meal too. So even characters like that, even though they're more side characters, but they're still fleshed out enough where you know about them. Whereas in Dragon Ball Z, you just show up in an episode and then you never see them ever again. So I like that care and attention that they give to the characters now than it did before.
Yeah, and it's kind of, I was surprised though to see some of those older characters like that, but it's like, oh, because one of them was who was the guy who was pretty much the boss of the three? There's the three of them getting on. I'm trying to remember his name. It wasn't Garlic Jr. It was the other guy. He had a weird name, like a or something. It was King something.
I can picture him in my mind right now. I just can't think of the names. He's like a short little guy.
Yeah, he's a little green guy.
I guess you beating me to the internet punch.
Yeah, it's we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll look too. But like, say, Bulma's family in the beginning of the show, they're obviously not the focus, but you still know a little more about them now than you did in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I mean, they do, even though the characters look very similar to how they did, like, they haven't aged a lot, they acknowledge their age. And so, like, Bulma's still got, you know, she doesn't look old at all, but then they're like making comments where she's like probably in her 40s or something, and she's not old or anything, but they're just saying that she's a mom now and everything, and she's right, like, she punched out, she punched Beerus at least once. I thought it was him, if not twice.
Oh, Pilaf. Emperor Pilaf.
Yeah, Emperor Pilaf. That's right.
Yeah, the girl that his stooges, her name is May or Mai. Mm-hmm. And I can't find the name of the third guy. Oh, Shu. He's a little cat creature.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I had only wished that I had gotten caught up with the SH Figure Arts early on, but I was collecting Masters Universe. But there's so many cool characters that they've produced in that series, and now I'm doing the Bandai Japan thing at your suggestion, and it's a great idea because it's the cheapest way to get them. And so, to answer your question earlier, I have not received my Jace yet. It's in the mail because I had to order it from Spain because I missed the pre-order. Okay. But I think I got them for like $60 or something like that.
That's good.
Yeah, and then the same person, the at least the same vendor I got that from is I bought the Raditz from as well. So, but that's not shipping yet. So, but that's cool. And now I'll be like, I pre-ordered Hit. I didn't even know who he was when I pre-ordered him. That's the funny part. But now I know who he is because I watched the cartoon. So,
yeah,
I thought he was a cool character.
Yeah, he's pretty neat, and I like how sort of building off of one of like the themes that they had with Goku and Dragon Ball Z, where it seems like when Goku seems to have topped himself as far as like his power and ability, some new adversary comes in and challenges that and forces him to try to like figure out, okay, how am I gonna beat this guy? And then whether it's from him getting a new skill set or just outsmarting him somehow or whatever it is. I just like how it, they continue that. And of course, like, that introduces all the new different Super Saiyan modes they have now. We have like Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, and, and a few other ones that, that throw in there too. So it.
Yeah. Blue hair, red hair,
The whole friggin' color spectrum of Super Saiyan at this point. Yeah. It'll become like the anime version of the Green Lanterns, where you have the color spectrum there. But I've always liked that aspect of Goku that you never really like. Whereas you have like somebody like Gohan, where he just kind of like settled, and however far he got is his training. Goku's always trying to top himself over and over again. So a character like Hit challenges him to do that. Beerus did that long before Hit was introduced. And then even with Frieza coming back and him being able to do like his version of Super Saiyan, which is the Golden Frieza. So he's constantly trying to improve and get better than he was before. So I like that. But
I do miss the Scouters. Because that's kind of, the only reason I say it is because that's how that originally is what I started like. What got me into the show was the fact that they had these devices that could measure power levels. I always thought that was cool, But what they're doing now is awesome, too. So, it's, I guess the only, if I'm mistaken, and it's going to be a spoiler, bear with me here and hold your tongue. But it's, I thought it was interesting how they're trying to, activate Gohan again, but then just when you think he's gonna go with them, he's like, oh, I got all these other commitments and blah blah blah, he's turned into a pansy, and which is a real shame because he's very, very, his latent ability is still there, and if he would only cultivate that, he could be something phenomenal. Just crazy. Because he's got so much raw power inside him, unlike Goku trained to get the way he was, but Gohan just has that raw power inside him that could easily, be almost a match for Goku, even more than he could probably overpower Vegeta if he trained as hard, because he has that latent ability. He took out Raditz he seriously injured Raditz, for crying out loud, as a child.
He also got more powerful than Goku and beat Cell during the Cell Saga too,
and also in the Buu Saga.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, but, and they're like, well, here's the next guy. Here's the next, most powerful Saiyan, and that was the thing is, and you thought that Goku was going to kind of step aside. That didn't happen. But, it'll be interesting to see, because I kind of like what they're doing with this series now as opposed to what they're doing in GT. I didn't like GT very much. I thought it was kind of stupid. And, it just didn't do much for me. And, killing off Piccolo and stuff, I hated that. That was a really crappy waste of an awesome character. And so the fact that they decided to go with this instead of that for canon, I think is a great move. And it's pretty darn neat. And so it kind of, I didn't get really, into the show much because of GT. I'm like, well, this kind of killed my, motivation to watch new stuff, and so I got out of Dragon Ball, and you know, I'd sold off a lot of my Dragon Ball stuff. I mean, I still got a lot of my originals, but I had some rare stuff that only came out in Japan and then was very sporadically released in the U.S. in the KB Toys areas before KB Toys went out. I've still got a few of the sets, but I had an Omega Shenron set, and that's worth some big bucks, man. It's hard to find that thing, and that's like a $300 to $400 set, you know. But I'm like, I don't care. I wanted the money, so I sold it. And it's just stuff. It's stuff, you know. And if you don't really, I'm not into GT. I could care less about the character. Give me the money. I don't care. And so with this new series is great, and I feel like I came into it at the time when, you know, there's new figures being made, and I know there's discussion online about there's supposed to be a new season coming out, but it keeps getting delayed. And there was an article that I'd sent Kyle, which I'll send to you, but apparently there's been some kind of delay in getting new episodes out for Dragon Ball Super, is what I heard. You might know more about it than I do, Ponch. Do you? What have you heard on that?
I haven't really heard much about that, but there was, what's weird to me is what was it freaking called? So after Super, I guess, ended, quote unquote, there was a series called, I think it was called Dragon Ball Legends or something like that, where I think it was an animated series. I don't know how long it lasted. I think I watched maybe the first 3 or 4 episodes of it, but it had like weird, it's like a Broly type of character where he had, I want to look up the name of it, but I don't know if it's something that's canon or if it's like outside of the Dragon Ball series, because Goku's in it. He's still the star in it, but the enemies are, well, at least the one that I was watching, he looked similar to Broly, but he was kind of like a scientist, where he was like super, you know, like a intellectual, but also, you know, which and he also had, I guess, the power set of Broly, but his intellect made him even smarter because he was able to control his rage, unlike, you know, like whether it's the original Broly iteration or the revamp that they did recently. It's, you know, he always had a problem with his rage. But yeah, I'm gonna look it up because so I don't know if I answered your question, but I don't know if that's like the succession to Super or if it's like some ancillary thing, or it could be also be there's that Dragon Ball Xenoverse game that the Figure Arts line actually made two figures of, so I don't know if it's spinning off of that either. But
it's funny because you say that, because I just found an article online. I'm not going to read it because I don't want it to spoil it for me, but there's a Dragon Ball Super 2 release date and everything you know about it. It's an article from the 9th of January. And, you know, it's pretty much saying in the U.S. the original Dragon Ball Super was released in 2015. And I remember when that happened because there was a coworker at the time that was really into it. He's like, I watch it on Crunchyroll. And I'm like, well, what the frig is that? But anyway, it was 3 years. It went from three. Each episode of the original series is written by different screenwriters. Well, that's interesting.
Wait, say that again?
It said each episode of the original series is written by different screenwriters, like the original Dragon Ball Super.
Okay. All right, I did find the series I was telling you about. So it was called Super Dragon Ball Heroes, and according to Wikipedia, it's a Japanese original net animation and promotional anime series for the card and video games of the same name. So it was this series was created by Toei Animation instead of the, you know, Akira Toriyama, and
yes.
I guess it's like a alternate reality based on those you know, card and video games, which presents with several alternate scenarios and possible outcomes within the franchise taking place after the events of Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball Super Broly. So yeah, I don't know if that's well, and this came out, actually, according to Wikipedia, it came out in July of 2018, which is Sounds about right, because I think that's when I watched a handful of episodes. And so far, it's currently airing, and it says 31st episode, or yeah, 31st episode so far. So I don't know how, where it fits canon-wise into like the super storyline, or if it's like...
What is the name of the actual show? What's the name of it?
It's called Super Dragon Ball Heroes.
Super Dragon, okay. Because it says Season 2 is scheduled to be released in July of 2021, but there's no official announcement about the release of Dragon Ball Super Season 2. They said, damn, they're throwing that pandemic crap out there again. It's like, you know what? Everybody, send some recording gear to everybody's house. Send them some good microphones. They're professionals. They can do their job. Have them record their parts, read the script off, and then get to work, you know? That's a cop-out. Anyway, interesting. So I will definitely look into that. And thank you for letting me know, because I had no idea. Yeah, no, I need to watch the movies.
Yeah, definitely, if you do watch this series, definitely watch it after you finish Super and after you watch the Broly movie, because it could... Well, again, I only watched a handful of the first episodes, but I don't remember if there were like particular bits of information that connected, that, you know, connects to the Super series. But just to be on the safe side, definitely finish watching Super first before you give this a shot. But it's definitely weird, because there's, you know, the weird in a sense of, you know, like different characters that just... It's pretty neat to watch, but at the same time, it's like, I guess if you're expecting like a direct sequel to that, I don't know if that will satisfy that. Or if, you know, I don't know if this is considered like just an offshoot thing.
It did say on the Wikipedia there, it did say, and it probably mirrored what you've already said, and just using different words, that it was, it's not a Akira Toriyama that was... that did it. It was Toei Animation that developed it. So directly, they did it themselves. So it probably has a little bit different feel, huh? So, but they said it's similar in GT, to where it's a more of a manga series based on the games and that kind of stuff. So anyway, there's so many games out for Dragon Ball. It's ridiculous.
That's just if you only consider like what came out here in the States. I mean, that there's quite a few, but then. I when I was like really hardcore into like video game emulation with like the older, like the old school games, you know, like the NES, Super Nintendo period, there was actually a lot of like Dragon Ball games, even that came out for the original NES, Famicom, if you want to be, you know, technical in the console naming, but yeah, a lot of them were like, some had fighting elements, but a bunch had like role-playing elements where, you know, you fight or you go to confrontations, you earn experience, earn, you know, whatever. But yeah, those are like, you know, the Japanese, you know, Japan only. So,
Well, that's the thing is, I remember the PlayStation one. It's Ultimate Battle 22 or something like that. The game's terrible. There's a Dragon Ball game for the PlayStation. Maybe I'm just not any good at it. But the graphics are pretty good, but it's really slow and clunky. And it's just it's hard to play.
I heard, what was the name of that recent one? There was a Dragon Ball game that came out, two or three years ago, that I haven't played it, but I heard it was really, really good. And I think it takes place in the Dragon Ball Z period, and it like fleshes out certain story aspects of that time, if it does take place there. But I heard that was really good, too. But if you like the like straight-up fighting games, smooth, man, smooth.
I was like, oh, crap. Well, because, like, I did download the one that's on the Xbox, and it's really the replacement for Dragon Ball Online. And I'm trying to remember the actual name of it, and because there's so many of the names flowing through my head. It's Xenoverse. That's the one I've got, Xenoverse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll tell you the name of the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, let me just give me a quick second and look it up. Sure. But it was from what I remember reading about it, it was like a combination of a fighting game and RGP. I don't know if you don't play this, but a friend of mine, he's really big into the Mortal Kombat series, and I was hanging out with him recently, and he was showing me some of the game and how, like, each character that you're able to control, they have, like, fleshed out stories particular to each character that you play, and you know, it's not just a mindless beat 'em up. There's actually, like, you know, role playing elements to it. You get, like, progression goals, and, you know, just a lot of the stuff that you would find in, like, normal, like, more like current video games, or, you know, there's a lot of, like, you have stuff related to the main story, then you have side stories and side missions, ancillary stuff. But yeah, I remember it being like a mix of that. So just give me a quick second to find this.
It's current, right? It's a relatively new game, or is it a few years old?
I'd say like 2 or 3 years ago. So
okay.
I guess fairly recent. Yeah, like I believe it came out during the time of like the PS4 and Xbox One. So if you have one of those consoles, you should be able to play it.
Right.
And the game is called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. Simple enough.
Oh, well, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, I need to go pick that up because it looked really good. But I didn't know how much better it was than all the other games that are similar to that. Like, you know, I love the Budokai series from the Xbox or from the GameCube era. That's a great series. It's awesome. And I have the version that came with the Dragon Ball special packaging for the PS2. I have that as well. I think it's Budokai 2. Then there's Budokai Tenkaichi. I have that. Then there was one called, was it Dragon Ball, the one where you go around on the map and fight different guys. It's for that was for the GameCube and I think the PlayStation as well. Dragon Ball Quest or Dragon Ball Adventure or something like that. And that game's pretty good too once you get into it. And
okay. Yeah, actually, it's
pretty great.
Oh, sorry. From what I'm seeing online, Kakarot came out early last year, so a lot more recent than I thought.
Yeah, it's still pretty new.
Yeah, so it came out for Windows, PS4, and Xbox One. So I think you're a PC player, so you should be able to find it. I don't know if it's something that was released on its own or if you have to get it through Steam or something. I'm not sure, but for the quick description of it, it says it's a semi-open world action role-playing game.
Oh, that's cool.
So that sounds pretty neat. I've heard good stuff about it. So it could be worth. I think it could be worth trying out for you, man, if you're into it. Yeah, I guess it is available for Steam as well. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got Steam.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go, man. Yeah, I hear they always have sales all the time. So maybe you might get a sale. Actually, I just saw. Say 60% Dragon Ball Z Kakarot on Steam. Oh wait, that was day January 16th. Never mind. Last year. So maybe not. But this say maybe it's priced at $23. So I don't know.
Oh, that'd be worth it. Cause you know, and that's the thing too. Is like, it's not even worth getting discs anymore for games because you still have to download the whole thing anyway. You don't. I mean, there's no point in having a disc. They've made it worthless.
Yeah. Well, especially if it's a PC game. So yeah, you're right.
Even like I've got the Xbox One S or whatever, and I mean it's like you put the disc in, you have to download the whole game anyway. I don't even know why they bother. It's almost like the disc becomes a bookmark for like selling the game. It's like, then why don't you just sell a game card then? You know, and because I mean to do that too, you're giving people the facade of having a Dragon Ball game you just bought with a booklet that has nothing in it. I mean, you know,
so actually, yeah. I don't know if you can see this very well, but this is on the Steam website. Can you see it at all?
Perfectly. Yeah, I can read everything too.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a different interpretation of how Goku becomes Super Saiyan with him powering up. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I did like how Vegeta made that kid power up into a Super Saiyan. You know, it was kind of cool how he pushed that kid to his limits. And it was pretty cool. That kid from, like, Universe 7 or whatever. And
Oh, right, yeah.
Wasn't that awesome? It was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, so cool. It was really good. I hope they, if what you read, the rumors about season two, if that actually does happen, that'd be great. Cause, let me reframe so I don't spoil anything for you.
Please. Yes.
But there's, okay. I'll say it without spoiling. Certain things that will happen past the point that you've reached to in Super, leads to some very, like, interesting storytelling possibilities. So if they do come with a season two, those interesting possible storyline points will be really cool to see explored. So
right, it leaves it open for, like, more expansion. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, because there was a lot of characters in Dragon Ball that are gone that I thought were really cool, but they didn't do a whole lot with them. Like Deborah and who else? You got him. You've got trying to think. Maybe some other guys. You know, they didn't like Turles. You know, who was really just really meant for a one shot. You know, and that was cool because like I remember how they're saying like, hey, he looks like Goku. You know, and it's like, but that's the only time you ever heard of Turles was from Tree of Might, and he's not mentioned in the series. And, you know, it's kind of like, and then there's, like, those two Saiyans that, like, I guess you'd call it a filler section in Dragon Ball Z, where it's Krillin and, who is it? It's Krillin and who else goes, and they go up to the Watchtower or whatever, and Kami's watchtower, and they go into this room, and they have to go fight those Saiyans from I think they went to the past or the future, and those two Saiyans they had to fight. They had really cool abilities. They were super strong, and the one guy when he shot his attack out, it was like a triangle beam that was shooting at him. It was really cool. I'm like, these guys are neat, but they don't even have names, you know. And I always thought it was cool how the series kind of did that, but at the same time, I'm like, hey, it'd be neat to kind of, like, put a name with the face, you know? But it's not really, I guess it wasn't the point of the story, but, you know, it just, they got, you know, so many neat character designs, you know? And, you know, you had guys like, you had the one guy's name was Kui, and he was like purple, and he had kind of like that elongated head.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he fought like Vegeta. Yeah, the alien guys are cool. Yeah. And it was like, then you had Pui Pui. He was the guy with he had an elongated head. He had that white head or whatever. I think I've actually, they made a figure of him, believe it or not. And he fought, it was during the Babidi saga where Majin Buu hasn't come about yet, but he's got like Bopovich and, or Spopovich or whatever. Yeah, he's got all those guys, you know, and, you know, it's just kind of funny some of the people I threw out there. But, yeah, Deborah was one of them. They could have really made a really super powerful villain out of that guy. And, but...
Have you watched the Broly movie yet?
The one that is supposed to be more in the timeline of Dragon Ball Super?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, it's awesome.
Because I was gonna say the way they didn't necessarily
that's why I got him. You know,
so like, they didn't necessarily retcon his origin, but they definitely tweaked it in a way where it's like less convoluted than the original one. But what I like what they did in that movie was that how they added more to the lore of like the planet Vegeta. And how, you know, you find out that, you know, Broly, Vegeta, and Goku, there's more of a connection to them than, you know, previously, you know, made out. So I wonder if they'll ever considered doing like a mini series where they flesh out like Planet Vegeta even more to like show how like that'd be freaking great, because what they touched upon this in the Broly movie is awesome. Like, I want to know more about that. I want to see to me it's sort of like it's like the Klingons of the Dragon Ball universe, where it's like a warrior race and they have their own like code of how things should be conducted and stuff, and you know, and then you also have like the intrigue of like, oh, Frieza's coming, we better, you know, do we follow what he says because we want to, or are we just under his control and, you know, we're fed up of it and try to rebel against him, you know, that kind of stuff. It'd be really cool if they ever did something like that, fleshed it out. Really cool.
I agree, because it's like us as fans have had to patch together that whole universe, that whole timeline, and it's cool to see how, like, even, you know, how arrogant that King Vegeta was, you know, and it you know, get into the whole Saiyan, like, you know, process of, you know, how these things, how Saiyans are bred, they're always in those tanks, and really, like, get into, like, how there's that conflict, because really, I mean, the Planet Vegeta was pretty much under the restrictions of Frieza, you know, really. And so it's like they were always like hated him when they aren't around, but then they're like petrified when they show up, you know. And it's kind of funny, but it's like I always like the, like, we didn't get to see a whole lot of Bardock, but then there's always been flashbacks to him. Yeah. And
another bit that I like too from Broly, that from my, if I can remember correctly from the movie, is that like the aspect of like survivors too, because I think when the planet where Broly was like hanging out after the planet exploded, you know, I think there was a few survivors that were trying like taking care of him, trying to keep his rage under control too. So it makes me wonder like how many more survivors are out there, and you know, that'd be really cool. I think it'd be a really cool thing to explore a little more if they ever decide to do that.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's probably a lot more script and some story arc written somewhere and they just never released them. I mean, because it just seems to me, I agree with everything you're saying, and it really stokes in me you get the hint that there's a lot more going on here than what they've released, because it's like they were so easily able to weave those flashbacks into the current storyline, and it just makes you feel like, okay, George Lucas, what were you holding back again? You know? And so, I mean, I agree with you, and I think there's probably more stuff out there. They just, for some reason, decided not to go with it yet. And it'd be neat. I mean, because Dragon Ball's not going away. It is a globally loved property, and as long as there is money and interest there, they're going to keep doing it. It's never going to go away. You know, when it came out in the 80s in Japan, it's like, it's not going away. So it's a global, it's a global phenomena culture-wise. And if anything, I mean, there's a lot of younger fans now that just love Dragon Ball. I mean, they just, you know, even the original series, the old original Dragon Ball series, are into it.
So, yeah, I've noticed, I'm not much of a Pokemon fan, but I do, like, as far as like the card game aspect, I kind of loosely touch upon news here and there as they come up, just because, you know, the collecting aspect of it. But I think there's like a 25th or 30th anniversary of that cartoon. So McDonald's, they've been like, if you buy certain Happy Meals, you can get like an exclusive like 4-pack of Pokemon trading cards. And I think what they're doing with with Pokemon, I think they can easily, well, if, I'm sure they do it already, but excuse me, how with each new anniversary date, they'll reintroduce, you know, for like newer fans, they'll reintroduce the, like, say Dragon Ball Z or the Dragon Ball franchise to newer fans. And then people like us, it just sort of like reintroduces it to us, or just reinvigorates our, you know, like our fandom of it. And you know, going, touching upon like the figure art stuff that you're finally collecting now, finally.
Much to my chagrin.
But I think that also allows us to continue being fans of the show, even though, like, I think, like you were talking about before, how like he just kind of like checked out of the franchise because of, you know, the reasons you gave. But I was still continuing collecting them. And then, you know, however I found out about the Super Series years ago, it could have been, you know, researching different toys from the Figure Arts line at the time, you know, that kind of stuff just could sort of like lead into that. And, you know, it sort of like keeps the sort of like fandom going, as George, as Justin holds up a really cool Goku figure. I'd say probably the best Goku figure they've released, because it's a updated articulation. Then it's the price point's like super cheap, so it's definitely like a great figure to pick up. But
it's like half the price of a typical first release is, even on online retail, I should say. You can get them at Target, but I think it's really cool. I mean, I'm going to go back and get the ones I really want. I mean, because the thing is like right now they've got like Ultra Instinct Goku. I can get that pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. There's that Android female. It looks like a female Majin Buu. For some reason, she's not that expensive.
Oh, 21?
Yeah. I don't know her story yet, so I'll have to find it out.
I think she's from a video game, if I remember correctly.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
I think.
Yeah, she looks like a female Majin Buu. Okay, maybe that's why she's not that popular. She's not part of, like, story arc. Maybe I'll pick her up anyway.
It's still a good, a cool
figure. I think she looks great. I just didn't,
And also, like, with an issue that the Figure Arts line has had up until recently is that there's been way few, like, female characters. And so now I think they're slowly trying to trickle out new, like, more characters like that. Android 21, Bulma, she has two figures of her already released, and I think they announced like one or two more come out. Like one, which this one you'll actually like. They've shown prototypes of like concept figures of Bulma in the Namek Saga, where she's got like the yellow and blue skirt and the blue leggings and stuff.
Right.
They're going to be releasing her soon, because what I've noticed what they do is that they'll show, like, say, well, not last year, because there were no, like, Comic-Cons or anything, like, physical shows to go, even though I think Bandai's done, like, virtual shows. But anyway, they'll have, like, certain events where they'll show, like, concept figures or upcoming figures that they'll announce for the first time at those shows. Before, they would show concept figures just for the sake of showing concept figures, but it seems, for me at least, it seems like within the past, I'd say, 5 years, whenever they show a new character that originally is intended to be like a concept, it eventually gets released, like, officially. So that's definitely coming out. I think today, Bandai officially released pictures of this character called Lunch, which I think she's from the original Dragon Ball series.
Oh, and, okay.
So she'll be coming out sometime this year, I believe. So, which is cool, because it definitely gives you variety in the series. And also, they finally, like, they've also been, like, guilty of re-releasing characters. Like, there's so many Goku and Vegeta figures, but then, you know, they're finally releasing, like, a Bardock figure that should be coming out sometime this year. And like all the other new characters that they've the Ginyu Force, something that fans have always been like clamoring for. They're finally releasing each of the members of that group. So I hope they continue doing like more new characters too. So it'd be great if they went back and start releasing like some of the lesser known characters from Dragon Ball Z, like
Let's see. How about Dodoria and Zarbon, please?
Yeah, man. Or like King Cole.
He'd be a big figure. He'd be like the size of at least Broly. He'd probably be Broly size, like this size. Cool. I would say like the Broly movie size at least. Or because Captain Ginyu's pretty big. He's about the same. He's almost the same size as Broly. He's a pretty big figure too. So. And also Nappa was pretty beefy. Not as tall, but he's pretty heavy, you know. And I mean, the fact, you know, if nothing else got released, I'm very happy with the fact that there's a Goku, there's a Ginyu Force, and we have Nappa, we have Vegeta, and all the stuff from the early seasons of Dragon Ball Z. And I think it's great. And I even like the, you know, like the Kaioken Goku. I think he's cool. You know, and he's one of the less expensive figures out there. And I'm like, that's fine for me. And like, when you take a picture of him and you use if you use some of the different filters like they have out there, just the stock filters like in your phone, or if you use an app or something, you could actually make him look like he's powered up. I mean, it's really cool, and I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you get like, you know, you've got Goten, you know, and or Gotenks, I should say, and Super Saiyan Gotenks, you know, it's awesome. I mean, it's really neat, and I even like the pop vinyls. I mean, my wife got me a bunch of the pop vinyls. She got me like 8 Dragon Ball pop vinyls for my birthday.
That's cool. I think I've mentioned this in other episodes, but I only have a handful of pops. I don't really go out.
I'm not Beanie Baby them. Crazy about them. I just like certain ones.
Yeah, but like, as far as Dragon Ball goes, I have a Fat Boo, and I also have a Majin Buu. They're both really cool. When am I getting the Piccolo one? Because the ones I've seen, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, the Frieza, the Namek Saga Frieza one's really good. And he's got a little stand that goes underneath this, but, you know, he's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And speaking I think of, they're only like $10 a piece, dude.
Mm-hmm. Like speaking of, I'm really excited about the Fig Arts version of the figure you just showed, the first form Frieza, where he's like pink and dark. Yeah, that one looks cool. So,
they're really nice. Yeah, here's the.
Actually, I think that's the one I have.
Yeah, it probably is. And you should pick up the Krillin one with the Destructo disc. He's cool. Destructo disc! You know. He's a funny character. I always think it's funny. He always gets his butt kicked, but he's like, we gotta get out of here. We're gonna be toasted wheat.
A figure that I wish I picked up when he was a little cheaper was there was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive of Vegeta and his first appearance with the anime colors, where he's got, it's like the
right,
the bright blue and orange, and he's got like the brown hair. That's a few hundred bucks. Maybe I'll sell stuff so I can get that, but that looks so freaking cool. That's one of the few like repaints that I actually think like is superior than its original one. And that one's only it's based off of the original figure. It's not based on the new like articulation, like the Vegeta that you have. It's that one's an updated articulated version of the one that I'm talking about. But it's still,
this is the 2.0.
Yeah. So this San Diego exclusive is based on the 1.0 version.
But, I've seen them. It's the Planet Alursian version or whatever they call it, when they're in that planet and they're in the pods. They get out, and it's the lighting of the planet itself that causes that hue. And it's cool because with the DVDs, I was actually able to go and watch like a lot of those episodes I never saw before, honestly, because when I originally watched the show, it was on Toonami or it was on WGN, had them on Saturday mornings. Actually, WPIX or WGN was where I originally saw them. It wasn't Cartoon Network at all. And so I was like, this is fascinating to me. They got the scouters, they can read power levels, and they had the original voice actors for like Vegeta. And actually, the very first episode I watched was where Vegeta was going into business for himself, and was looking for the Dragon Balls himself, and he was actually going to take on Frieza's henchmen. And I was blown away by the guy's confidence, and he was like, I want to send you to the next dimension. You know, he's just got that different, he's like, hey, Kakarot! You know, he's not like that. He's like, okay. You know, he's just, I thought it was cool, you know. Sorry. Sorry. You can tell I'm into it a little bit, but
yeah, a smidge.
Cooey, cooey. Yeah. Or whatever. Cooey. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. I think the DVDs that you have, it has like what was sucked about the like the Toonami and the Channel 11 versions that we watched were that they're heavily edited. Yeah, even like in the original Dragon Ball, if you watch some of the the uncut Japanese versions, not uncut like gratuitous, but you know, for Dragon Ball Z, the fight where Piccolo he grapples with was it Raditz and am I getting the character? Yeah, Piccolo has like an arm lock around Raditz and tells Goku to shoot a power an energy beam through them. And in the original version, you see the energy ball going through, cutting through both the characters, and you see the blood and stuff. Whereas the American version, that part was completely cut out. Or
they would shade it out with a pencil or something. Mm-hmm.
Or when Goku first becomes Super Saiyan, the Japanese uncut version shows Krillin the full explosion, whereas the American version, it cuts out right before you see his body being inflated before he explodes. But I believe I don't know if the DVD versions that you have has those uncut versions, but just seeing for me at least, I've always enjoyed seeing the Japanese versions, because I might have mentioned before in another episode where I really like the music from the Japanese version of the cartoon, because it just sounds more like operatic to me, whereas American one, you had kind of like the synth guitars and stuff. It just it definitely.
I like them both.
Yeah.
I really love that soundtrack.
Yeah, so, well, I do like how at least with the movies, the original movies like Tree of Might, World's Strongest, that the way that the music was in those, they kept it for the American version, they kept the music the same as the Japanese version. So that string orchestral type sound to it, that's similar to how the series is usually, but.
Yeah, the horn sections and stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of...
so freaking cool. Yeah,
that's neat.
I dig it.
It kind of added some... In a very unexpected way, it added some flair to those movies that it's in that. And I really like the Trunks Saga U.S. Soundtrack. I went to CD World or FYE, that one in the San Ramon Mall, and I had bought in Watertown, New York, and I had bought that on CD, and I put it on my media player, burned it on there, and I really like it a lot. They use the same kind of keyboard sounds. There was an artist, remember how he used to make me those mixed CDs when we were back in the mid-2000s or early-2000s, and you had some different prog artists on there, really obscure stuff. There's one artist on there that used keyboards that were pretty much the same tones as the Dragon Ball stuff, and for the American music, and it could simulate electric guitars. It was really cool. And so I found that artist on YouTube, and his whole album's on there. So I'll get you the name. You're gonna love it, man. It's pretty cool, and I will. I think I saved it to my playlist. But it's pretty neat. So, I really dig it. And so, in fact, I think I wrote it down on one of my little notebooks here.
Yeah, I'd be interested in knowing what this is.
Yeah, let me find it. And let's see here. My list is not too far behind here. Sage. I wrote all the artists down. I'll have to find it. I think it's... His name is Django Jagas.
Oh, I remember that guy. Oh, yeah, I remember finding him on MP3.com.
Right, and so he had Constrained and Harmonic Motion. Those are the two songs I have.
Man, I haven't... Wow, I haven't heard that in years.
Django Jagas. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the sound you're talking about. It was very... it's like... celestial type of like synth or keys kind of sound.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. It's very 90s, and I think it's great. So you know what? Probably one of the most. I didn't find out till later on, and I'm not going to take up a whole show with this because we're wrapping it up. But I just wanted to say that you want to talk about some really violent anime stuff that was out there was Fist of the North Star.
Man.
Dull stuff was like, the guy, you punch the guy and the guy's head explodes. You know, it's just like he hits the pressure points. He's like, yeah! I was like, oh my gosh, this guy who's like 6'4", and he sounds like a little imp or something when he's attacking him.
I think the thumbnail for this episode, you should put a screenshot of the face you just made.
I'll do it again. We'll call it Justin's anime attack face.
He's over 500.
That's right. Over 5,000. Here, I got it. Who's it?
So specific.
Oh, that's great. I've got those scouters there. Oh man, my kids love them.
Yeah,
I've got one, like I've got a Vegeta one, and I've got a green one and a red one. So, but it's a lot of fun.
I think I had one of them years ago. I think I bought it at Comic-Con, but my head was too big for them, so I got rid of it. Because I think the ones you have, the straps are more adjustable now, whereas the ones I had, it was just a fixed size, and I would, like, my head was too big, and so it would, like, stretch out the strap, and I don't want to break it, so I figured I'm just so I have somebody else enjoy it more.
Well, it'll if it fits my fat head, it'll fit yours. And look, it's not even all out, but it's very flexible.
It was nothing like that. Like, the strap was one solid piece of plastic. It wasn't adjustable like that.
Yeah, this is the enhanced version.
Yeah, so that one's way better than the one I had.
His power level exceeds 5,000.
There it is. His power level exceeds 5,000.
Such a sense of humor.
That's freezing. It sounds like an old lady, like crazy old. Oh, it's great.
Get my Geritol.
My Geritol, nice. Yeah. Where's my vermouth? I don't know. Sorbonne, get my gin and tonic.
Top shelf. Top shelf.
Top shelf. Oh, that's great. Top shelf. Top shelf. Oh, I love it, man. It's awesome.
Oh, goodness.
It's like driving Miss Daisy. It's like, get my can of salmon. Oh, man.
Yeah, hopefully next time you'll watch the rest of Super or what they have of it so far, because like I said, there's some really cool stuff that happens. I might have, like, not necessarily spoiled it, but I might have.
No, you won't.
Okay, so
otherwise this conversation's over. No, I'm just kidding.
Fine.
No, I'm gonna be continuously watching these because I want to know what happens. They're addicting. So, but I have to go back and watch the movies too. I have to watch the movie with Frieza. There's two movies that they came out with in the last since 2015 that were in theaters, and one of them was the Gods movie. I haven't watched.
Yeah, that one's cool.
And then what was the other? What was the other one they did in 2015? The other one that I haven't seen.
Yeah, the other one's Resurrection F. That's the one where they first introduced.
I don't know. I haven't seen Punch. Okay, I haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to actually buy it for myself as we speak. I'm going to order the Blu-ray and because you get them cheap now because they've been out for so long. It's been 6 years, but
yeah, I think new releases. I think it was Resurrection F, then Battle of the Gods, and then the Super Broly.
Super
I'm not
Broly.
Sure if there's Eight. Any more after that. But yeah, that one's awesome. They're like that fight scene where Broly's like full power and he's fighting Vegito. And the way that animation is so cool, like how their power set's so insane, like it distorts like space and time and they're jumping through dimensions and stuff. So freaking cool. And I love how there's like two different type of animation styles in the movie where like I'd say the first half to two thirds in the movie it's your typical animation you would see in Dragon Ball Super, but then like the fight scene is like so kinetic and frantic because the line work and stuff is all like very sketchy and very loose. Oh, it's so freaking cool, man. Like if you guys haven't watched that, I definitely recommend watching Dragon Ball, like the recent Broly movie. It's really good.
And, well, it seems like these two films were already stretched. They were already they're the same thing as watching the episodes. Resurrection F and Battle of the Gods. It's really okay. So yeah. Maybe I'll just get them just to say I have them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a cool just to compare how the super series handled it differently than the actual movies. Because like I was telling, I think I mentioned to you before, and maybe Kyle too, that the first, I don't know, 12 to 15 episodes of Super, it's like a fleshed out version of Battle of the Gods.
Right.
Excuse me. But there's still like things about the movie that's still pretty cool. So that's why I still recommend that you watch it anyway.
Well, you can actually watch it for free on I've got Prime. I'll just watch them on that. But I'm going to buy the Blu-rays, too. So, I bought all of the Dragon Ball Z movies on Blu-ray. Like, I bought them. I have all of them. And
that's cool.
Yeah, because I had the DVDs. But, you know, I'm like, hey, these are dirt cheap. I'm going to go buy them up, you know.
Yeah, why not? So,
what's that?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Hopefully didn't buy a Bio Broly. That was garbage.
In the day. I have the DVD from back in the day. It was a terrible movie.
Yeah, not good.
I'll probably watch it again just for giggles.
It's like, man, why did I... That's an hour I'm never getting back in my life.
I didn't understand. It's like, what continuum are you guys... Why are you doing this? It's like, he's resurrected through chemicals, you know.
Stupid. That's why I'm glad they revamped or, you know, updated his origin. So it's what they did now is makes a lot more sense. It's a lot more simplified and easy to follow. It's not convoluted anyway. And there's some emotional weight to it too with how they. Well, if you guys haven't watched it, I don't want to spoil it. But the way they develop his origin and like I was mentioning before, how it connects to Vegeta and Goku and stuff, that's pretty neat too. So watch it.
I think the snowplow is coming through for a second time. Yep. You know, these people need to quit parking on the street like this. And because I'm telling you, I'm waiting to hear this ka-chink and have the snowplow hit somebody's car. I'm just waiting for it. And I've got security cameras all over this place, and you know, I'm just waiting to hear the, you know, ka-ching!
Should go outside and greet them with that face you made.
What, the fist of the anime face?
Yeah.
Switching. I could probably freeze it for you if you'd like.
You know how, have you ever seen the, you know how Joe Rogan has his podcast where he has that circular logo where he's got like his face on it? You can do the same thing for.
This is the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And use your face instead for the Case in Point podcast where you, actually, that's kind of creepy. Never mind.
I'll take some funny. Money. I'll take some money if Joe Rogan wants to use my mug.
Well, maybe not for him, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. But anyway, yeah.
Oh no, that'd be funny.
Actually, wait. Let me do a screenshot.
No, I don't trust you. It's a blackmail photo. Next thing we know, you're gonna have merchandise and stickers and everything else with my face on it. You'd be walking down the streets of New York City. Hey, got free stickers here. Check it out. You know.
Case in point, the toilet paper. Case in point, the cereal. Case in point, the slippers. Case in point, the socks.
Nice.
Case in point, the Justin plushie.
Yeah, you can set up a card table like someone else we know and sell them in the subway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. What was it? Captain Meat Sauce? Oh, my goodness.
Hey, is it Kmart? Is it Kmart in the New York subway still open?
I think it's closed now.
Oh, okay. That was a really nice Kmart. It was, like, high-end. Wow, as high-end as Kmart can be. It was well-stocked. I'm sorry, that was just an ignorant comment. Like, any Kmart can be high-end.
I personally go dressed up in a tuxedo when I go to the New York City Kmart. Yeah,
they make sure they got someone sweeping up the teeth on the floor, you know. That didn't happen in here. It came in from outside. You know? And you just picture, like, having, like, Brian Knobs be like, you'd be like, you know, we were out there, and they come to blows, and they in the fisticuffs. We're totally going off the rails now.
Yeah. No, fighting. Dragon Ball Z is totally, Matt. It's totally
right. Contains, you know, to it. He goes, you know, we went back to our old ways, punching, kicking, barroom fighting. They went to that wrestling school in Minnesota with Vern Gagne. And then they all the stuff they learned, they threw it out and went back to punching and kicking the ball. They went to get stretched and all that just to go back to their old ways.
What a waste, man.
Oh, man. Our grandmothers could have beat us when they were done with us. We gotta do another wrestling episode.
Oh, man. I was just gonna say I've been listening to a lot of on Spotify they have some, they call the Steve Austin podcast classics, where they have some of, like, more of the highlights from his podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Stuff is gold, man. Like I'll super brief, but there was one with Kevin Nash. They talked about anything but wrestling. Like they're going through, like, some Uber facts, and the way Steve Austin was like, it's like, now Kevin, what do you think about this Uber fact? And you know how he talks. He's got that weird, like, Southern Yosemite Sam type of cadence.
He's from Texas.
But
yeah. I think he's from Texas, or maybe he's not. But yeah, I thought he was.
Something like that. But yeah, oh, it's freaking great, man. Yeah, we definitely talk about that.
I'm sure the Broken Skull Ranch came into play somewhere. Yeah, here we are at the Broken Skull Ranch. You know.
Next in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
He's
got some really good episodes in that show. It's like he's got the one when Roddy Piper was on there and stuff. That was
that was awesome.
Sorry, Rod, wrong test. He was gonna cheat and he got the wrong test.
Oh yeah.
The teacher wrote it on his test. He failed him. Oh, man.
love how he would like snort whenever he would laugh. Like you hear him get going. He makes those weird like those weird noises and stuff. So free. Oh, that was a great one.
Yeah, it's a sad loss. But you know, he's just like, oh, is that a mouse in your pocket? You know, he's like, what the heck are you talking about? So anyway, this is getting rowdy, and we're just getting warmed up and having a good time. But we're gonna keep this brief as we can for case in point standards, anyway. And Ponch, thanks for making it to this one. And
man,
this was a really good focused discussion on Dragon Ball. I really had a blast with it. So, and I would just like to say, I do have a new podcast that I'm doing. This one's not going anywhere. And I know some of you people are nodding, saying, sure, you know. But no, I'm doing it's going to be twice a month. It's called the Pod Rock Podcast. And I've actually already recorded the first episode. It's in the can. I'm going to be doing some editing on that. But I know, I just kind of started it. And
two timing.
this goes into nuts and bolts, gear, and really in-depth things that really don't have a place on this show. And this is going to help both shows because I can focus on the other side of my interests, which are toys and cartoon properties like Dragon Ball, comic books, things like that. But I always wanted to have an outlet where I could talk about the other side of what I do, and which is music. And so that's really going to help the quality of this show because I won't be trying to dustpan things in here, you know. So, look forward to that. We already have a Twitter page for that, and it's let me get it here. Make sure that we have. Isn't that sad? I don't even know the name of my own freaking new podcast I'm starting. The handle for that on Twitter. I'm not using Facebook because I don't like them. So we are at Pod Rock Podcast 1. That is so check out the Pod Rock Podcast on Twitter at Pod Rock Podcast 1. And haven't done an Instagram, but we literally just got this off the ground like a few days ago. So that one's good. That one's all about writing, music writing, gear, talk about bands. It's totally dedicated to music. There's no outside things creeping in or anything like that. So that's kind of where we're going with that. And so give us a follow there. We'll have our first episode up here shortly, within a few days, hopefully. And so Ben Stape is joining me on that as a co-host on that. So, and Ponch, you're always welcome to, you know, I welcome you to chime in on that whenever you can. I know things are busy, but it's really like it even goes past just music talk. It's about like equipment and tubes versus solid state. You know, what pedals do you like? It's really in depth. So. So check that out. That's your bag. If not, that's okay. If you like me, great. If you don't, tell none of me, because I'll still be here tomorrow. So anyway, there we go, folks. So yeah, that's going to wrap it up. Ponch, anything else?
Can I think? Maybe we can, after you finish the Dragon Ball Super, we can finish talking about what your thoughts on the stuff you weren't able to talk about today, but
the stuff that's off the tape right now. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. You scoff. You scoff. Yes.
This is still in the early stages, but getting some things into motion to start doing certain things I've been meaning and should have been starting a long time ago. But once things are more have been progressed to the point where I'm comfortable enough to share it, I'll share it with you guys. But
I'm excited.
Have some gears in the work, you know, gears moving. So I'm kind of excited where it will lead me to. But yeah, I'll be talk for another time. So
well, hopefully it won't take you off this show because we like to have you.
I can always like bring it on. It's more like personal career type stuff, but I definitely
could always talk about this. Oh, frick, man! Now you're gonna have me. Jeez, man! What a tease. Okay, well.
Yeah.
So I'm already excited now. I don't even know what it is, but man, it's cool. I can already freaking tell from your look on your face that, yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Man,
but whatever so. It is, I'm happy for you. I know it's going to be great, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you after, but. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, well, that being said, folks, that's going to do it. I want to find out what this is. So you folks have a wonderful week. Keep it safe, folks.
Enjoy.